Hello and welcome to the sound of four men sitting in a room wishing that they were somewhere else. It's time for the Tux Radar podcast.
Developers.
The words micro and soft don't apply to anything in this room. It's episode
12.
I think it's 12.
Episode 12.
I do set it right each time when I send it.
Yeah. I just haven't printed out the notes that you so lovingly prepared, John. I'm very sorry. Thanks, Graham. That's teamwork. I love it. So, starting from the top, podcast series 4, episode 12. I'm Andrew Gregory.
I'm Jonathan Roberts.
Yes.
It seems out of order.
It is out of order.
Cool. Is there an order to this?
Usually, who cares? Let's just mix it up.
Yeah, cool.
Well, I'm Efrain Hernandez, I think.
And I'm Graham Morrison.
And in this episode, we've got lots of news, including awesome news that isn't actually about Linux, but it's just so awesome. Discoveries of the week, rants and raves. We'll be speaking your brains and we'll be opening a ballot. You can subscribe to Linux Format magazine at tinyurl.com/LXFoffer1 because we don't get paid for doing the podcast, we get paid for making a magazine about Linux called Linux Format.
And it's a great magazine.
It's really good. If you subscribe to it, you get not only the words that are in that magazine and forthcoming magazines, you also get access to an enormous archive of PDF content, which has absolutely no DRM restrictions placed upon it at all, because we don't like that sort of thing. It's like, is it 10,000 PDFs?
10,000 PDFs, a million words a year.
An incredible. It is actually, isn't it? A million words a year.
It's more than that. 1.3 million it would be.
It's a huge, huge amount of Linux knowledge that will no doubt improve you as a human being, morally, intellectually and physically. And make you more attractive to the opposite sex, or the same sex, if that's what you want.
Just make you more attractive.
Just make you better.
Yeah.
You are a superior human being. And anyway, that's a really good offer, and the price is relatively low compared with buying it from WH Smith.
And the blood, sweat and tears that goes into each issue.
Yes.
You can taste it on the page.
Meg.
We hang Gary over the top of the publishing stack, and he just drips on it.
Anyway, enough of bodily fluids. Let's move on to the news.
Yes, news. Okay, so starting off with the biggest news of the fortnight, probably the year, maybe even the decade or half century, the Higgs boson has been discovered. Or possibly, kind of.
Not I'm getting carried away in the euphoria of this discovery, but you could tell me anything.
And you'd love it. All I know is scientists are excited. The scientists are massively excited by it. They say it's 5 sigma, which means it's like 1 in 3.5 million possibility that it's not the Higgs boson.
Yeah, the BBC did a really good analogy. Was it The Guardian? Where they explained what that was, and it was something like a sigma 3 was like 8, tossing the coin 8 times, and it happening heads every. For 8 times, and this 5 one is the equivalent of tossing a coin 20 times.
21 times. Yeah.
Which I understand that.
It makes it a bit more concrete, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So everyone get your coins out, toss the coins and see what happens, and you'll realise how awesomely this is.
Is that stigma? Is that number of standard deviations?
Sigma, yeah, it's something to do with the number of standard deviations, yeah. But, you know, everyone's just really excited about it. I really was pleased for Peter Higgs, who, you know, proposed the idea originally, and all the pictures of him getting
really
emotional. I did almost do physics,
So, came very close. Out of all of us, you're probably the best person to explain the significance of this.
Yeah, but it turned out while studying theology, a lot of the physics just lost.
Well, they still call it the God
particle.
That's true.
It all comes together. But no, I just think it's exciting, you know, fundamental physics, major discoveries like this, which doesn't, I mean, there's a lot to still be seen here, like whether it behaves like we expect it to and things, so there could be a lot of new science to be done, but at the same time it validates a lot of the standard model that people have been interested in for a long time. So it's exciting whichever way you look at it. So
the thing that I kind of grasp as exciting is that within our lifetimes, I think there could be some kind of a new, I don't think we'll ever understand everything.
No.
But I think this will open a whole new realm of understanding, something closer to the Big Bang, something closer to the nature of kind of particles and the nature of physicality and whether anything is actually.
And the Large Hadron Collider generally, just we were saying before we started, amazing value. I think I read it cost about 2.6 billion euros, which just seems like a bargain to me for this kind of
device.
Better
than bailing out Italy.
Yeah, which a lot cheaper than bailing out Greece as well.
You know, but also, it's the fact that they actually gain results out of all these things. And it's at the beginning of the project, they just basically were almost blind about what they were doing. And finally, a few years later, you think, oh yeah, it's just fantastic. They actually got the results that they were more or less expecting. Yeah.
I love the fact that as well, it's like the whole international community coming together to fund this and make it happen. And just people working together is a big win.
Yeah, there was I've mentioned it yesterday. You weren't here yesterday, but there was a tweet on I was following where an American had said, sad day for US science. Because he's actually having a go at the lack of investment in science in the US, but I'd never even thought of it in those terms before. I just thought it was great news for all of science
for and everyone. For all of us. Because the results will get published, and also the US came very close with the last results on their own accelerator before it was closed down.
Yes,
they got very close also. So I guess sad that the US aren't investing in the same way, but I'm sure they're investing in science. Good thing.
We won't go down those Marxist routes.
But what should be the third part of the technology comes from everywhere in the world, not just Europe. I mean, the equipment that they're using.
Thought about it in European terms.
I know.
That was cool. Second piece of news. Leap seconds have been causing chaos all over the internet, mostly on Linux-based servers. Anyone hear about this?
Yeah.
No.
Go on, Graham.
That's all there is to it, isn't it? If I guess the fact is that the leap second that needed to be added was done so over a period of time, so there wasn't just an immediate jump, which is what's caused problems, I guess, with lots of servers being synchronized. Yeah. But what's remarkable is that it's caused far more hassle than the Millennium Bug.
Yeah. This is Y2K Mark II.
I don't actually know the specifics of why so many servers fell over.
No, I don't. I've not heard any formal write-ups of it. Because my understanding is that NTP is designed to deal with exactly this kind of situation, so it shouldn't cause a problem. But
didn't you have any previous warning?
Everyone knew it was going to happen. It's a well-publicized event.
I mean, I guess NTP can cope with servers in the deepest mine and on the highest mountain, so there must be some kind of relativistic...
Do you think there's some... let's get physics here.
Yeah.
All of these servers were too high up.
Maybe that's what it is.
But does it mean that we're older then?
Maybe some of the servers didn't actually gain a nanosecond.
What you mean?
Because they were really high.
Yeah, so it threw the whole system out of alignment. I have no idea, but if any of you, our listeners, know what's happened, can you please enlighten us? Because
that would be good.
We think NTP should have dealt with this, but that was a bit dramatic and a bit of bad press for Linux.
It's probably just bad code somewhere in the same piece of PHP those sites are using.
But no, it's in the kernel. I know the bug was in the kernel. Right. Yeah, I do know that much. Third piece of news, Blizzard supposedly bans Diablo 3 players who use wine to play, but actually not.
Was it just one person that was cheating?
It's starting to seem quite a lot like that.
Yeah, we all got excited about this kind of the story.
Because
firstly, it's outrageous that Blizzard bans people even if they want to play offline.
Yeah.
But then secondly, a nice Linux cause to get our teeth stuck into it. And there's a massive thread as well on the Blizzard forums.
Yeah.
And you always also realise just how many people must be running it on wine.
Or how many people just get indignant about it even if they don't play it on wine.
I think that's more indicative,
I think...
A lot of angry people.
One of the nice things about this story and doing this podcast once every 2 weeks is that we have time to actually see how the stories play out, and we are less likely to look really stupid when we come to saying, this is terrible. And actually, no, we've seen that maybe there's not quite so much to this story as we first thought.
And it garnered a response from Blizzard.
Yeah, and they said they tested it. They said wine doesn't trip it as a false positive. So,
and, there will be a lot of people at Blizzard thinking, what's Linux?
People use Linux. But, this is a nice takeaway from the story is that, this is the news story, really. You can use Diablo 3 on wine and you won't get in trouble and you won't get banned. Don't worry about it. Unless you cheat, but then you should get banned anyway because cheaters are...
Losers.
Weepers.
Well, they usually win. But.
Fourth news story, Ubuntu drops Scrub 2 over UEFI secure boot worries. Andrew, have you read about this?
It's a different... they've chosen a different way of getting around UEFI to Fedora, haven't they?
Yeah, I think it's similar.
It's because
but Ubuntu want to be able to go on the tablets that might have not have secure boot disableable. I think.
I thought it was because they were working with lots of OEMs.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
And so there's a danger that things will be distributed without a key or with a key, and then because it's under the GPL, they'll have to.
It's all very confusing.
Yeah. Did they mention really patents in Grub?
Oh, did they? I don't know.
But the patents are owned by the. Is it the Electronic Frontier?
Well, or the Linux software. Foundation, or someone said that, you know, you don't have to worry about that.
I think the main concern is that under the GPL version 3, they're worried they'd have to expose their signing key to comply with the terms of the GPL. And the Free Software Foundation said, we can't see any scenario where that would happen. They said, we're the copyright holders here. We have no
problem. This comes up a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So they said it would be the manufacturer's responsibility, that kind of thing. It wouldn't be your responsibility. But, and, you know, I read the Free Software Foundation's response, and it was actually, you know, quite open. You know, they said secure boot, if it can be disabled and if you can add your own keys to it, as on x86 systems, then, you know, they actually don't see anything wrong with it, and they see that it doesn't necessarily have to restrict user freedom if executed properly. But they said that on Windows RT, is it, with Windows designed for ARM, where they're calling it, Free Software Foundation calling it restricted boot, where you won't be allowed to disable secure boot or add other keys.
Well, you can't do anything with
they're saying that's a real problem.
But I don't understand, because I've not read the story, but what's the solution that Ubuntu Canonical is going to go with? And is it a workaround?
No, it's basically the same as Fedora's, I think. Their installation media will have to boot from a system with a Microsoft key involved.
They're writing
in it.
Their own boot, though.
But yeah, I think they're writing their own boot.
Right. Oh, that's sad.
Is it going to be based on?
It's going to be Apache licensed.
Linux?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's going to be Apache licensed. So more flexibility and less worry about the. But yeah, it's funny that Fedora didn't think that was a problem, whereas. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, this whole issue is very confusing. We should really do a what on earth on it so we can get our heads down to it.
Yeah, so I can understand what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, I wish I understood what I was talking about as well.
But if it's Effie Linux, it's got to be awesome, right?
Effie boot.
Yeah, you want to see my OS, definitely.
Oh, no. finally, oh no, not quite finally. Incidentally, Grub 2 has also finally been released officially.
Yes.
It's not Grub 1.99 anymore. It's now Grub 2.0
so
something.
Weird. They've got an official theme the first time ever.
Have they? Cool.
It's what like is a, it? It's Starfield. Starfield.
Yeah. I read that in news.
Oh. Great. Cool. Someone's reading news. It's Graham.
Readers, if you read news, send Andrew a letter and I know you appreciate his hard work. And also, finally, TuxRadar commenters made it to /. And are now officially internet famous, courtesy of Linux Insider.
Can you explain, please?
Someone else explain?
Well, Linux Insider, they've done this quite a bit with our TuxRadar open ballots, haven't they? Whereas they kind of editorialise, is that what you'd call it, the content, by making it appear like a feature when in fact it contains just all of your comments.
With a few joining sentences put in between.
And so the last one, which was the command line, a crusty old relic, was /. With over 1,000 comments. I haven't seen that happen on /. For a while, with your comments, listeners, courtesy of Linux Insider editorializing our content.
Yeah. So we were a little bit miffed about this. We didn't really know what to make of it, because it is your comments that they're ripping off. It's not our work. But at the same time, the community on TuxRadar could only benefit from getting that kind of exposure. Certainly our standing within the company would improve when our ad revenue goes up. So we were a little bit miffed, but they're your comments. So we'd love to hear how you feel about Linux Insider editorializing your thoughts and feelings about it each month. So do let us know in the comments to this podcast. That is the news today.
Yay. Awesome. So it's time for Discovery of the Fortnight. I've got a really naff audio related discovery, but another because I couldn't think of anything. But I did discover when I was desperate for looking for a discovery, I googled Discovery of the Fortnight.
Cool.
Well, I actually did it in DuckDuckGo, so no Google bias. The top hit is Tux Radar Podcast.
Is it?
Yeah. Awesome. Wow. For Discovery of the Fortnite. So that's pretty cool.
I awoke from the dream in which the snake was eating its own tail.
Yes, yeah. So I looked at that top link.
And then I invented benzene.
Does anyone else want to have a go before I force my audio-related discoveries?
Okay.
Oh, cool, Effie, thanks.
That's all right. Mine is not exactly a discovery. It was more like a burning question that I had for ages since I read the Lord of the Rings and I watched the films and all that. Without a doubt, my favorite books anyway. But there's one passage from the Lord of the Rings in which there's a question thrown at basically the whole tale of where the ant wives end up. Right, so I tried to do some research. I read the Silmarillion more or less. I nearly killed myself reading the Silmarillion, trying to find in the appendixes some sort of reference to it. Yeah, answers. I was looking for answers to the questions. And anyway, there's several passages on the Lord of the Rings in which you realize that the key of the answer might be on the name of the race, which is Ent. And Ent is an Anglo-Saxon word, the Anglo-Saxon word for giant. Now, for most of you that already read The Lord of the Rings and so on and so on, now you can correct me if you want to, Andrew, as you are the linguistic expert in the team.
Ciao.
There's several references on the Lord of the Rings, such as in the Fellowship of the Ring, Samwise Gamgee mentions that his cousin Har saw a giant in the north of the Shire, which resembles an ent. Now, all the ent wives, according to the tale in the Lord of the Rings, they disappeared. The guardians, they moved on, they left the ents behind, the male ents behind, and the guardians were destroyed by Sauron during the War of the Last Alliance, and they never were seen again. Now, there might be some clue to the fact that the word means giants, and they were seen in the Shire. And Treebeard asks Pippin and Merry how the Shire is, and they when they mention how the Shire looks, he says, "Oh, the end wives might love to be in that area, or something like that." That's the dialogue. But the reality is that even Tolkien never knew where the end wives end up.
Yeah.
He tried to find a way to describe where they end up, but he never did.
Good effort on the research.
Yeah. But I think the best part of the research is actually the word ent.
Yeah,
it's Anglo-Saxon for giant.
Yeah.
And effectively, the ents are not trees as we might see them, as they are depicted sometimes, but they're not. They're just giants with funny color of skin and texture in the skin and short arms, 7 toes in each foot, etc., which are quite an amazing picture of it. Anyway, that's
cool.
My discovery.
I think that's cool.
So they're giants that stood still.
They're just giants. No, they move slowly, but they move, my friend.
I'll tell you where is good for if you want more like background on Tolkien and the old Anglo-Saxon history link. The Ashmolean Museum in Oxford.
Yeah, here we go again. I will go to Oxford one of these days. If anyone, the listeners, wants to invite me to Oxford, to go to the pub where Christopher Lee and Tolkien used to meet. Yeah, no. Are you going to give me one day off?
Go for it.
There you go. Settle. Anyway, that was my discovery.
Oh, that was really cool.
John? All discoveries pale in comparison.
Yeah, I don't want to go next, but...
Lord of the Rings.
I'm working on a repeat of the... a CPU, build your own CPU feature to look at how to do memory and how to extend the ALU to do different operations as well. And it just struck me while I was making it this morning that KTech Lab does not deal at all well with large circuits. And it's just the number of leads and wires is looking messy and it's confusing, and you've got to be so careful as you're drawing it across. If you want to rearrange components after you connected them, everything just goes haywire. So readers are going to have to take care when they follow. But it's possible it just could handle it better.
Yeah. I guess nobody uses it that much.
No, I don't think it's even extent. I don't think it's even actively developed anymore.
That's a pretty, so seem like a great
it's piece. A really cool piece of yeah. I have to check out some of the commercial alternatives like Cedar or something like that. Oh yeah. Look forward to that.
I'll get mine out of the way. Mine, I was desperate to find something, so I didn't really. But this is a useful tool if you're into Linux audio. It's called Wine ASIO, and it enables you to run things like Cubase on Linux and use the Cubase ASIO driver to get to your hardware. It actually links the ASIO hardware driver and Cubase to Jack on your Linux box, cool. Which is really, really good. I haven't tried it, but I might give it a go. Andrew?
That's cool, if you like that sort of thing. Yes, my discovery, I've got two, really. One, it's not really a discovery. It's more like a portal into the realm of fixing broken stuff. My Mint laptop, it doesn't let me log in as myself. Like, I can see the user there in the login screen, and it's the same like password that I always use for everything and have always used and should probably get around to changing one day. But it just doesn't work. It's sort of, the screen, I put it in and the screen goes black and then it says, oh, stopping cron task, whatever, and then loads me back in at the login screen. So I can log in as root. And I created a new user for myself today with a new password.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, well, this will solve it and I can, and if it works, I can just go back and delete the old Andrew user. But even that doesn't work.
Oh, that's weird.
So I've got a great weekend of fun ahead of me. Like, just fiddling about with stuff.
Have you considered that probably you're a replica and your Mint box detected the fact that you're not genuine?
That would be awesome. So, like, the built-in retina scanner on my 300 quid Acer laptop.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Could be. Mm. Could well be. My other discovery is that if you're in a pub quiz and there's a question about European geography, even if you pull out a €5 note with the map of Europe on the back and demonstrate that he is wrong, if the person holding the pen thinks he's right, he is right. There's no arguing.
The difference between you coming third and first?
The difference between us coming third and first was we played the Joker on the wrong round. If you play the Joker at the beginning of a named round, then your points score double. And we chose like the hardest round in order to do that, the logos round, in which we only got 6 questions right. If we played it at films, we would have won.
It's all about tactics.
Well, yeah.
Why didn't you play it at films? Do you know which section's coming up next?
No, you don't.
Right.
So you sort of, there's no, you know, you could get to the end and find that the final round is on 17th century Latin poems.
Which you'd be really good at.
Well, I would be, ciao. I would be awesome at that, yes.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks for your discoveries. What's next?
Halfway reminder.
Halfway reminder.
It's the halfway reminder. Right, that brings us to roughly 55.3% of the way through our podcast. Still to come, we have Rants and Raves, Speak Your Brains, that's your brains, and our open ballot.
Ooh, time for Rants and Raves, and this week it is Ben and Graham, but Ben's not here. Effie, Graham, Andrew Graham,
Effie,
Andrew,
Effie.
Effie
wants to rant.
I don't want to. Effie, do you want to rant?
I want to rant, but I might need more than a minute.
No, you only get 1 minute.
It's going to be difficult.
You got to keep it. I'm going to cut you off halfway through, so just say what you can in 1 minute and get it out there, but I'm going to cut you off.
I'll try.
Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Go.
Right, I meant to write this, but I didn't write it, so whatever I say is going to come out from my heart. Last Sunday, Mexico went out to elect a new president, and yesterday the official results were given, and the PRI, political party, which is probably one of the most oppressing, tyrannic, and horrible political parties in the world, have won the elections. I'm ranting about myself and people like me who were not able and capable to keep this political party out of power in Mexico. I'm ranting about the lack of justice, transparency and fairness on the electoral system in Mexico. It is a shame that is happening. We kicked them out of power 12 years ago on their back. That only means trouble in Mexico. And my heart bleeds.
That sounds like this. A perfect time to stop. That was spot on 1 minute, Effie.
Yeah. I can carry on for another hour if you want to, but I just don't want to depress the listeners about
this. Yeah,
I don't
want to get my mood too heavy. But that is a serious issue. Like, I don't know much about
it. I think by now, probably most listeners already know what happened last Sunday in Mexico and yesterday. And I think it's just appalling. And I really detest the fact that Mexico hasn't had a chance to become a nation rather than just being a country. There's a lot of anger around the planet. People living abroad have campaigned about this against asking the international community not to recognize Enrique Peña Nieto as the new president of Mexico, the elected president of Mexico. And I'm not going to do that. I think being democratic as I am, I'm going to accept the fact that he won it. Bad tactics or not, he won him.
Yeah.
But it's a bad omen that they're back in power. That's it.
This is going to seem really weird having a rave after this. So
yeah, maybe we should just leave it at that.
Seems like an easy way out.
Please rave about it, because otherwise the mood is going to be...
The rave is obviously the awesome lol quality of the politics thread. Isn't it?
Actually, you were saying you were like heartened by the fact that...
Well, can I rave about something related to this?
Yeah, why not?
Effie's going to...
So,
as well as ranting, Effie is now going to rave because he's awesome today. He's on fire.
Effie Linux.
I'm raving about the movement, the anti-Enrique Peña Nieto movement campaign before the elections, organized by students from a very posh university in Mexico City called Iberoamericana de Mexico. They kicked out, and one of the visits of Enrique Peña Nieto to this university, they kicked him out of the campus, calling him names such as murderer, thief, liar, etc., etc. These are rich people. They united all the social classes. These students united all the social classes in Mexico and made out of that particular event a movement in Mexico. Unfortunately, it wasn't successful. Unfortunately, it didn't work. But I'm raving about the braveness, and I'm raving about the love for the country, it's such a great thing that the movement is already permanent. It's called I'm 132, and they have a website as well called I'm 132. That's it. They're great.
There's hope in Mexico still. Hope lives.
Hey, let's go back to technology.
Yeah, that's a rave. So, yeah, that was Ransom Moves. Speak Your Brains.
Speak Your Brains, which is really easy, this episode.
Do we not get any?
We don't have any Speak Your Brains.
Oh, no.
What?
I know.
That's what we should have ranted. We could have ranted about that as well. Not maybe in favour of the travesty in Mexico.
Maybe we should replace it with something else.
Have you got any ideas for what we should replace it with?
Maybe people's brains were spent after the collective outpouring of awesomeness on the comments for the last podcast.
There was a lot of hard thinking that went into that.
There was a lot of brain work went into that.
Are we going to go straight on then to open ballot?
Yeah, why not?
Cool.
Open ballot! We asked quite a silly question this time, didn't we?
Well, we were being provoked, so we thought we'd be provocative.
We thought we'd feed the trolls.
Who provoked you?
Of the same one person.
It was probably
to have a link to everything on Amazon.co.uk.
See, Ben came up with the theory that the person who kept commenting on the thread was actually a very elaborate bot
from Amazon.
From Amazon, whose only purpose was to say inflammatory things and then post links where people could buy stuff from Amazon.
I forget what position that person was arguing. Were they Marxist, capitalist,
I read the first line and then my brain just shut myself down.
Yeah.
They're clearly pro-tax avoidance since they were linking to Amazon.
Well, if you've ever bought anything from play.com, you've avoided tax.
Yeah, that's true.
So get down off that high horse.
I've never bought anything from play.com. Surely by chance.
So we asked, is Linux capitalist?
Sigurd, we're going in the other direction this time, isn't it?
Or is it Marxist? Yeah. Now, this is... I sort of want... Like Harry Hill, I want capitalism to come in through one door and have a fight with a giant styrofoam bust of Karl Marx coming out of the other. Sadly, Harry Hill's TV show, his TV birth, is no longer with us, so we'll all have to replay
it. Nor is Karl Marx.
Have they cancelled it?
That was it, he's done. He's finished. No more.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
It's probably my favourite English person ever. About talking.
But then what if they could have done like Red Dwarf and just carried on and on and on until it was just rubbish.
Yeah, Tolkien was an elf anyway.
See, I thought he was an end.
He had to have a long life to write those really long books.
Yeah.
Anyway, so is it communist or is it Marxist?
Capitalist.
Capitalist or is it Marxist? Oh. There is obviously nothing in between. Those are the two. It's a binary choice.
If you're not part of the solution, you are the problem.
Yes, if you're not with us, you're against us. Hearteningly, lots of people ignored the question.
Despite my best attempts to troll them.
Yes.
Well done, readers.
Just said that they use Linux because it's the best tool for the job.
We were very impressed with that. We all felt a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's something like you said, sorry, that John said in a rant or a rave a while ago about reasons why people use Linux, and that it's it being free is now less significant than the quality of the software, and that stood out on a few of these comments. Sorry, but we're ignoring the sensible people and going straight into the political trolling. Ignonum says, "I've just read the Wikipedia page on the subject." But as a force...
I hope he means a Wikipedia page on the subject of is Linux capitalist or Marxist, because yeah. That should exist.
If not, we should create one.
We can just copy and paste this into it.
You're not taking this seriously.
Sorry,
take it more seriously. As a force for preventing the oppression of the proletariat, open source software, Linux included, is a great tool. No one person or entity has the power to control it. Yes, it can be selfish, but unlike selfish capitalism, you can be selfish with open source software and the results can benefit everyone.
I think that person actually makes a really good point. Okay. Like, Linux is the means of production in the digital age, or computer software. Yeah. And free software means everyone owns it. The owners are done away with. It's the Marxist dream.
Then don't we all become the bourgeoisie if we all own the means of production?
No, because it's owned by everything. Yeah.
Top hats and gold top canes and frock coats.
If you want that, I guess so.
Yes, I do want it. It's the only reason I get up in the morning.
It's actually how Andrew dressed a couple of years ago.
I still dress sometimes like that.
Yeah. Until it was... Well, anyway, enough. Anonymous. Enough fashion. Let's get to the serious business of whether Linux is capitalist. Or Marxist. Anonymous.
We should have dressed up, you know.
Help, I'm being oppressed. Anonymous Marxist Robertsist says lots of things. And then at the end says, interestingly, one might advance an argument that developers who release their code for free, as in beer, are free, as in freedom, of the shackles of alienation, and that Linux is not commodity fetishistic, in which case Linux has an important Marxist economic characteristic. Pretty much any Marxist, from trots to tankies and everywhere in between, can agree that Marx envisioned that communism would essentially entail the absence of private ownership of the means of production. Open source cannot be privately owned, so therefore is possibly Marxist by definition. It's more or less what you said, isn't it, John?
Again, there's an argument in there along those lines, definitely.
People own the copyright, though. Does that count?
People own the copyright, but... it's an interesting case, actually, yeah. People own the copyright, but I guess once it's under GPL, you can't revoke that at a later date, that all the old copies would still be available under the GPL. So...
The GPL is awesome.
By people owning the copyright, the copyright's actually just a tool to free the software, within our legal system, which is what makes it so clever.
But you still own your contribution. What's the important aspect of your contribution? Mm. Is it the fact that you give it freely as part of the whole effort, or the fact that you retain some kind of pride of ownership over the bit that you contributed?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because in that case, can they say, for instance, can they change the license and then make free software commercial, for instance? Have they got that right?
Like, they could re-release it under a different license, yeah. But for previous release under the previous license would probably...
Oh, yeah, that would stay. But they could take the bits that they've written and do whatever they want with it.
Yeah.
Semi-anonymous penguin says, we can take what we need and give according to our abilities. That sounds Marxist to me.
Mm-hmm.
At a gazillion dollars per issue, though, Linux format is a capitalist concern. Without which,
if only that spread down to the workers.
Without which, the computer hackers' workers' paradise is much diminished. It's a perplexing quandary that should keep us up at night.
Got to say, we are, you know, that Future Publishing owns the means of production. We are under the boot of a bourgeois capitalist. We'd like to see more of those gazillion dollars that Linux format costs.
We are being oppressed. We're stuck in some sort of scene of Alice in Wonderland, honestly. Yeah. I don't know where I am anymore. Oh. Well, probably this is the last podcast.
Oh, well, never mind. Anonymous Objectivist says, I'm attracted to free software because of the freedom. Freedom generates wealth for all. For example, the Industrial Revolution. I would query the Industrial Revolution generating wealth for all. Without freedom, only the rich and powerful benefit at the expense of society. E.g. the USSR. With Linux, I can do what I want to do. And what is more, because it is a real free market, I know it is impossible for my self-interest to harm others. In a real free market, it is impossible for one's self-interest to harm others.
Andrew's
discuss.
Loving this. Andrew's just loving it.
I came prepared for this comment.
What nonsense.
I came prepared with a little parable for this comment.
This is from, last episode was surreal.
I found this in a book called God and Gollum by Norbert Wiener.
That
was
ace.
Yeah. And he's by a guy called Norbert Wiener, who was one of the grandfathers of artificial intelligence at MIT in the 50s and 60s. Cool guy, but wrote this book, God and Gollum, where he quotes Goethe's poem, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, or summarizes it. And then he says, for young factotum, who cleans the master's magic garments, sweeps his floors and fetches his water, is left alone by the sorcerer with the command to fill his water butt. Having a full portion of that laziness which is the true mother of invention, the lad remembers some fragments of an incantation which he has heard from his master and puts a broom to work fetching water. This task the broom carries out with promptness and efficiency. When the water begins to overflow over the top of the water butt, the boy finds that he does not remember the incantation that the magician has used to stop the broom. The boy is well on the way to be drowned when the magician comes back, recites the words of power, and gives the apprentice a good wholesome scolding. I think this is such a brilliant analogy for a free market, in terms of you set it off with the ambition of growth and making people richer, but it will just do that at the expense of anyone or anything, as long as there's more capital generated. And the idea that the free market left alone will not hurt anybody, you know, the free market's got to be checked, otherwise you end up like the Sorcerer's Apprentice who's going to drown himself. You need the knowledge and the wisdom of the wizard to come back and know the incantation to stop it and use the abilities wisely.
I'm just left wondering why he chose the Sorcerer's Apprentice and not the Magic Porridge Pot.
Is that Disney's version?
It's the same story.
Yeah, it probably is, yeah. But anyway, maybe it hadn't been made then, because I don't know when he wrote this book, but it was a while ago.
It's the Selfish Giant's an allegory on the tragedy of the commons.
And it's equally the same as the Monkey's Paw story as well.
Oh, I like that.
Another one as well. But anyway, free market shouldn't be just left unchecked. It hurts people and the planet and everything else as well. Free market is not an altogether good panacea.
Tolstoy uses that monkey's paw analogy in War and Peace about the Napoleonic soldiers in Moscow. They're lean and hungry and they're like the relaxed hand, and then they grab all the loot and stuff and get a bit fat and lazy, and then they're stuck. They can't get out.
Yes.
It's quite cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, blah 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 blah. Also, more. This is from the same chap. Altruism can be extremely dangerous. Blah blah blah. The most dangerous form of Marxist altruism today is the Venus Project. This is just pure evil. And then provides a link. I think anyone, you know, pure evil is silly. But the VenusProject.com. I had a look at it. All the information is presented in terms of, in video form.
Oh.
So I just can't be arsed.
I thought you were going to say Comic Sans then.
CERN, that's how we know CERN are evil.
Yeah.
That's why it's a bad day for American science, because they use Bodoni.
That's a very graphical analogy of the comment. I'm impressed.
Mutant Albino Penguin says, I adopted Linux as a matter of politics. I started hacking because I was running Linux. I describe myself as Marxist, but I can't help noticing that I have far more common ground with right-wing libertarians, who also tend to be Linux users, than with Guardian reading types. I think we can all agree that Guardian reading types should be oppressed.
The way you underlined it then, I thought you were going to say in italics.
Fatuous Penguin says, I use Linux for the sole reason. Fatuous question. Prolific Penguin says, fatuous question. I use Linux for the sole reason that it is the best operating system in the world. That's probably the most sensible answer to, to this silly question. By the way, it needs to be pointed out that Karl Marx was possibly the second least talented of them all, falling somewhere between Zeppo and Gummo.
That's the best comment. I love the Marx Brothers films.
Bob Smith has missed the point here. He says, I don't think Linux is either capitalist or Marxist. Linux is a computer operating system, not a political ideology. And we'll obviously get lots of letters about that. Yes, we know Linux is just a kernel, not a computer operating system.
I really like A Night at the Opera, when one of them's running away from the police and he stood on top of the stage prop and there's a door at the top and he steps through the door and then falls down and grabs hold of the fabric as he tears it as he falls back down to the ground. It's very funny. Wonderful films.
I have to revisit them. I haven't seen them since.
Recommendation, yeah. I haven't seen.
I think Linux is more capitalist.
More capitalist?
Yeah. It is. I can't remember why.
There was a good one in there about.
I had a decent justification for it a while ago. I can't remember that.
I like the person who talked about, maybe it was in the comments to the last podcast, about how Linux, a competition, makes it very close to a pure free market. Yeah, I thought that was a good argument.
It's like in the Red Hat feature, when you talk about Linux distros being a commodity.
Yeah.
So you don't compete through rent-seeking behaviour, like you own the way to produce the best one or something.
Yeah.
You have to actually, to make your distro more successful, you have to actually make it better.
Yeah.
But I just think, maybe this is naive, and some of the answers were similar to this, that Linux exists for so many different reasons, and developers are motivated by so many different motivations that it just exists. There isn't any single reason for it.
Yeah.
Like we did, trying to actually pigeonhole it into politics or into one side or the other just feels awkward and horrible.
Yeah,
it
right.
is what it is.
It was a fun question to ask. I love this kind of thing.
We all thought it was great asking the question.
I thought some of the answers actually were really thoughtful and really creative and really expressed some clever ideas.
It's interesting to get a spread of what people think as well. Yeah. We have, and as I said, there are these all sorts of very hardworking and productive market research people that your gazillion dollars helps to support. But it's, I don't know, there's something about getting actual feedback from real people that somehow is, if anything, even better than having a market research department. Mm. So thanks.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah,
I guess so. So next month we'll be asking Windows, is it Catholic or Mormon?
Is it heterosexual or homosexual?
Please, listeners, rest assured. Next time we're going to try and actually talk about Linux for more than 5 minutes in the podcast. So,
cool.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for contributing. Thanks for listening.
Au revoir.
There's no one more thing.
I've got one more thing.
Have you?
Mm. Which of these cities is furthest south? Lisbon, Rome, or Istanbul?
Rome.
Just point. Look, that sounds like a tricky question. Actually,
it's a good Istanbul. Question.
It is a good question. It's a good question. Istanbul.
It's a good Istanbul. Question. Anyone with a map of Europe
it's
in their back pocket.
It's probably
going to
be a trick question, and it's going to be Lisbon. Right. It's the one I wouldn't expect it to be.
I'll say Istanbul.
Right, so we'll leave it at that then.
Oh, no.
Bye.
Hey, what was it? It's such a